helping you understand Christianity, understand all the basic important bits of Christianity. And so I'd like to go into a bit more detail now. If you haven't met me before, or you was like, who's that bloke getting up earlier? My name's Kirk. I'm on staff here at St. Hilary's, and I'm basically in charge of everything for years 7 to 12, so for all of you guys. So it's great to be here, and what I want to do tonight is to introduce you to Christianity. Now, I'm going to be very positive, though, right? Because I'm a Christian. I think being a Christian is the best thing you could ever do. So I will be biased towards Christianity in that sense. And some of the things that I say, you might question, or you might, you know, flat out disagree with. But that's okay, because not only are we introducing you to Christianity, we're introducing you to Alpha, and Alpha is all about questions, and it's all about starting a conversation about topics that surround faith and God and the meaning of life and that sort of thing. So, as Sarah mentioned before, if you were to come to the course, we would present you the Christian message on a certain topic, and then you get the opportunity to respond with your thoughts. I wouldn't blame you if you are here for the first time tonight, just wondering to yourself, why am I here? Maybe it's because your Christian friend at school was just bugging you heaps to come, so you're like, I'll just shut them up by coming. Maybe you kind of fancy that person who invited you along and you hope that sometime in the future you'll go out with them. Nice move. Actually, Manny, can you close the doors out there? That would be good, just so we don't all get freezing. Maybe you're accidentally here. You thought this was a jazz ballet audition, and you're really glad that you didn't wear your leotard on the way through the front door. Whatever the case, whatever your motivation for being here, I wouldn't blame you for being a bit skeptical about Christianity, because I was. I was particularly skeptical about Christianity when I was in high school, when I was the age of you guys. And I had three very negative thoughts about Christianity that I want to share with you. You see, my parents are both Christians, so they sort of took me and my two sisters along to church as we were growing up. And we went to a quite small church that was full of what I call wrinklies, old people. And it was pretty bizarre. The minister would wear what some people would kindly refer to as a robe and what I would harshly refer to as a dress. And he would lead us through a bizarre ritual of standing and singing and sitting, but people just knew what to do. So if you turned up and you were a visitor, you just had to sort of watch the person next to you to stand up at the right time. It was strange stuff. There was no young people. And if ever I talked or anything like that, I'd be shushed by a wrinkly. And even afterwards, the morning tea was kind of just rubbish biscuits and water. They had coffee, but you know, when you were younger, you weren't allowed to have coffee. I don't like coffee anyway. So I guess I felt that it was boring. You know, that, well, if these church services are so boring, maybe Christianity is boring. Also, that particular church that I went to never, ever talked about high school or anything to do with high school, unless it was to complain about the young people and how off the rails they are these days. So I was like, well, these Christians seem to just think that I don't exist, that I'm irrelevant. And so I wondered, well, maybe Christianity is irrelevant. And of course, my parents were Christians, but and so you sort of just pick it up as you're a kid. I don't know, if you've come from a family which believes a certain thing, often you just grow up believing the same thing. But as you get older, you start to question what your parents have told you in the past. Because, I don't know if you've noticed this, but our parents lie to us when we're young. They tell you that Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny are real. But they're not, unlike the Tooth Fairy. They tell you that if you're pulling a face, you know how you, when you're younger, you like to just pull faces, pull your face in all sorts of positions. If you're pulling a face and the wind changes, then your face is stuck like that forever. Did anyone ever get told that? And then they tell you that they have eyes in the back of their head, but Josh, do you want to stand up for a sec? They have eyes in the back of their head, but then when you do this and you hold up fingers behind their head and say, how many fingers? They can't answer you because they don't have eyes in the back of their head. Thank you, mate. So our parents do lie to us And they, you know, in that sort of area. But I guess as you get older, you start going, well, what about other things that they tell us, more serious things? Are they true as well? Or are they perhaps untrue? And, you know, I started asking the question, well, have I just picked up Christianity like I picked up speaking English? Or is it actually a true belief system? Is it actually something worth following? You know, and I, as much as there are millions and millions of people who believe the Christian worldview in the world, there are also millions and millions who don't. And I thought, well, at some level, those people must think that this is untrue. So that were my three problems. I thought Christianity was boring, I thought it was irrelevant, and I thought it was potentially untrue. So I want to address those problems tonight. And I'm going to put a quote from the Bible up there. You don't need to look it up because it'll be on the screen. The Bible's where we get everything we believe about Christianity. We call it God's Word as a nickname. And so there's a line in there from Jesus, which says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now Jesus, he's at the very center of the Bible. He's at the very center of what we believe. He's the guy on the posters. He's the guy who do all the press conferences. You know, he's that. So, and he's God's son, right? So he speaks for God. So when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it's something to pay attention to. And I'm going to focus on that quote throughout the night as we look at these three problems. So let's look at boring first. Is Christianity boring? You know, people have been accusing church services of being boring for a very, very long time. Have you heard of Abraham Lincoln, an American president from way back? Let's have a picture of him up there on the screen. There you go. He's from, you know, back when it was cool to have beards without a mustache, linking it up. And he said, if all the people who fell asleep in church on Sunday were laid out end to end, they would be a great deal more comfortable. See what he did there? You thought it was going to be a distance thing? It's not. It's just a joke about church being boring. So he was doing that. And then people still think it's boring right now, including one of the most popular pop culture shows of recent pop culture, The Simpsons. Let's have a look. Got the volume turned up, Evan? Do you want to restart it? There we go.
For the latest rock band to die in our town, Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
I hate being late.
Well, I hate going. Why can't I worship the Lord in my own way? By praying like hell on my deathbed.
Homer, they can hear you inside.
Relax. Those pious morons are too busy talking to their phony baloney god. How you doing? Peace be with you. Praise Jeebus.
So there you go. Homer, not keen to go to church at all. Thinks it's phony, thinks it's boring, but obviously prepared for it to be boring by bringing along a portable video game. And I have to say, I would partly agree with this point of view. Church services can be boring. I would much rather go and see a Ryan Gosling movie than that bloke on the right lead a church service. Hopefully that's no one's dad. Is anyone's dad? Am I right there? Sorry, Nat. you know, and as much as here at St. Hilary's, when we run church services and we run a youth-based one down the road, 7 o'clock every Sunday, just in the gym at Genizano Girls School, when we run church services, we try to not make them boring, but we can't guarantee that bits of them won't be. Sometimes people will get bored. And so church services, I think it's fair enough to critique them and say, yes, they are boring. But being a Christian is not about going to church services. In fact, going to church is only a tiny little part of what it means to be a Christian. Actually, being a Christian affects every part of our lives. Now, if we look at that quote again, and we focus on that bit where Jesus says, I am the life. You see, many people think that Christianity is about having no life. That when you become a Christian, you just put your hand up to condemn yourself to a life of boredom and misery. And that, in fact, the rules that Christianity has, people say, well, Christianity is all about rules, they just suck all the fun out of life. That's what it's all about. But my experience is actually the complete opposite to that. I find that my Christian faith challenges me to take risks that I would never have taken otherwise. And they're risks that have a good reward as well. So they're not just, you know, well, there's a big pit of spikes, it'd be risky to jump onto those. So it's not that sort of risk that's just, you know, doomed to failure. These are risks that actually result really well in my life. My faith also unites me with people from all around the world. So when you're a Christian, you have friends automatically in every single country on earth, because there are Christians all around. There are Christians in every country, and they're all unified around the same beliefs. Also, I mentioned that Jesus is the center of what we do before, and Jesus really did live on the edge. You know, he really pushed it, and he freaked a lot of people out. He freaked out the popular group at the time. He freaked out the rule Nazis who just wanted to control everyone. And he freaked out religious people as well, interestingly. You don't become a Christian, I guess, to go to church services. You become a Christian because you want to have a relationship with the God who created the universe. You don't become a Christian because you want to be part of the fun police who stop everyone else enjoying themselves. You become a Christian because you believe God's real and that he wants to get to know you. And that relationship with God is unlike any other relationship that you might have. And whilst it's not the easiest relationship, there are lots of challenges that come with it. It's definitely not a boring relationship. Evan, do you want to turn the lights a little bit higher, and I think that buzz will go away? Changed anyway. okay, let's have a look at true. Is Christianity untrue? Now, I'm going to show you some pictures on the screen. So direct your, and I'm going to ask you questions about each one. So let's have a look at this one. Okay. As you look at that, do you see two faces or do you see a vase? Who saw two faces first? Vase? Oh, only a few people saw vase. The geniuses in the room, apparently. No, I don't know. what about the next one? Which sphere is bigger? Ooh, which one? Don't call it out if you know the answer. Anyone? What do you reckon? You can decide on your own mind. Guess here. Furthest one? Anyone think it's the closest one? Yeah, they're the same. What about have a look at this grid? Are these squares the same size or different? No, this is the squares. All the squares are the same size. Next one. These lines parallel or crooked? See, I know the answer to this one, right? And I know the answer is parallel, but as I look at it, I struggle to believe that that's true because they look crooked, right? And last one, those blue lines. Same or is one longer? Ooh. People said all different. One's longer. Yeah, they're the same as well. So you see with these images that sometimes when you first look at them, your brain will sometimes tell you, oh, that line's longer or that line's shorter. But as you sort of delve into it and you concentrate a bit more, you can see that there's something else going on. And I actually think that Christianity is often a bit like this, that people sort of maybe have heard something a bit about Christianity, but it may not be entirely true. It may be a half-truth. It may just be a rumor. It may be completely made up. And so what we need to do is when we look at Christianity is don't just go with the first thing you've heard, you know, the first thing someone tells you, the first thing you read on the internet, but actually do some research, concentrate, and work out what's going on, really, what's going on underneath. If I had a dollar for every time someone said, oh, well, Kirk, you're a Christian, therefore you need to act like this, or therefore you're not allowed to do this, I'd be one of those people who pays for really expensive things all completely in coins. You know those guys? Something costs like $30 and they sort of come up with a pile of money and start putting it out, you know, because they got it, and then they drop it. all over the fish and chip shop floor or something like that. Like, oh, hang on, I'll just have to start again. So my point is, I get told that I believe things. You know, Kirk, you're a Christian, you believe this. And I don't, because it's stupid or because it's just not what's in the Bible. Let me give you an example of that. A lot of people assume that because I work at a church, that I'm really interested in church buildings. Not really. Like, it's impressive that they stand up. I couldn't build it, but I'm not really fascinated in church buildings. All sorts of other stuff comes out. So it's important to do your own investigating, and it's important not to just listen to rumors. Also, I think the Christian message can get lost in a whole bunch of other messages. Now, Evan is going to play us a soundtrack, and it's three songs all mixed together. And I want you to see if you can guess them. There's two new ones and one old one. Take it away. Okay, we're going to play it one more time. Okay, anyone want to guess one of them? Party Rock Anthem, correct. That's one of them, yep. Gotta Be You, correct. By? Yep. Third one? Anyone got the third one? This is the older one, but very well known. Pardon? It's not Walking on Sunshine. Let's hear it one more time, Evan. Yep. Was it by Queen? No, it wasn't by Queen. Backstreet Boys, no. At the back? No, not Michael Jackson. It's Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. That was actually in the background of that. Okay, so why am I playing that track to you? Well, we get thrown all sorts of messages at us all the time. Every day you will have people or things throwing messages at you. You will have billboards, you'll have internet pop-ups, you'll have school classes telling you things, you'll have parents giving you advice. You'll have dodgy uncles giving you advice. You'll have TV ads shouting things at you. You'll have magazine and newspaper articles shouting their headlines at you. You'll have Facebook posts, school gossip, and all sorts of other messages coming your way. Isn't it funny how some people just think out loud and they look at a picture and then feel like they have to say all the ones that they recognised? Shush! Who do you trust, right? Out of all those messages that come at you every day, who can you trust? Who do you listen to? Who's actually telling you the truth? Let's have a look back at that quote from Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus claims to bring genuine truth into our lives. It's like he cuts through all the noise, a little bit like this knife cuts through butter. That's cheese. It's just in the fridge out there. Anyway, I can still cut through it. Just imagine I'm cutting through it really easily. There we go. Jesus cuts through all the messages like that. Ta-da! See you later. I'm off. Okay. Anyone want some cheese? It's been in the fridge for a long time, but I might give it out at the end. Okay. Thanks for sharing all your opinions on cheese. Now shush. So Jesus claims to bring us truth. I believe that Jesus brings us genuine truth. But I can't prove to you 100% that God exists. We just don't have that sort of evidence. Can't do that. Likewise, I can't prove to you that God doesn't exist for exactly the same reasons. So a fair question is, well, where does that leave us? Let's think about football for a moment. Arguably the best player in the AFL at the moment is Gary Ablett Jr. And You've got to admit he's the best player, even if you don't like the team he goes for. Anyway, let's just assume he's a really good player anyway. Now, guys, we just need to stop talking as much as we are, or else it's going to take all night. Shh. I know lots of stuff about Gary Ablett. I can look in the newspaper online and see a whole bunch of stats about him. I can listen to him in interviews or watch interviews with him on TV. He comes across as a pretty nice guy in interviews. I can watch him play footy and I can see that he's very fit and that he's got incredible football skills. And I can even read what other people have said about him, and they can make, you know, a guy might write something in the newspaper and make comments about what Gary Ablett's like. But if Gary Ablett and I were to meet in the street tomorrow, we'd be complete strangers. You know, our relationship would start from zero. We might be able to have a good game of kick to kick, but as far as the relationship's concerned, it's not there. Now, if Gary Ablett happened to meet up, instead of with me, with his dad or with his brother, that would be a different story, because there's a relationship there already established. They already know each other. So when a Christian tells you that they know that Jesus is the truth, it's more than just approving of the available evidence. They're actually talking about the relationship that they have with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that scientific evidence or archaeological evidence is unimportant. It is, and if you come to the Alpha course, we actually focus on that a fair bit in the first week. But compared to the evidence of relationship, the real and living relationship you can have with God, that sort of evidence is not as important. Okay, let's go to the last problem I had, and that's that Christianity might be irrelevant. You know, people go to great lengths to find meaning in their life. One person who's really stood out for me over the last 10 or 15 years is Susie Maroney. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she is a long-distance swimmer. Now, let me tell you a little bit about her life. When she was 16, the age of some of you here, she swam across the English Channel, 32 kilometres. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty puffed after two lengths of the 25-metre pool. So 32 kilometres, that's a good effort. Then in 1998, she swam from Sydney to Newcastle. Now, I don't know how far that is by ocean, but by land, it's 118 kilometres. A little bit later, when she turned 22, she swam from Cuba to Florida, which is 178 kilometres, with no rest and no pulling yourself along by the lane rope. They are some major fitness goals, yes? They are incredible fitness goals that she's got. I can't even get down to the gym. She's swimming from one country to another. But obviously, she found some sort of purpose in trying to achieve those distances when she was swimming. But of course, Susie's a bit older now. She'd be in her 30s. And she's only going to get older still. So she's not going to be able to keep pushing that. She's not going to be able to keep finding purpose and meaning through swimming long distances. So that sort of purpose, I guess, is not a long-term one. It's not a whole life purpose. We often get tricked into thinking that we're only one step away from really achieving like a perfect life. And we're always thinking that. Let me give an example in the area of gadgets. iPod. The iPod came out and it was the iPod Classic, and then it got upgraded six times to new versions. So if you had the older one, oh no, there's a new one coming out, I better get that. Then, of course, there was the iPod Mini, which is smaller, fits easily in your pocket. There was the iPod Nano, which was even smaller again. Fits in your bum crack? Like, really small. Then there was the iPod Shuffle, which is actually a bit lamer than the iPod, but really cheap. So maybe I should get that as well. Then there's the iPod Touch, which is like a touch phone, but it doesn't make phone calls. Then you've got the iPhone. It actually makes phone calls as well as doing all the music stuff. Now you've got the iPad, which is like a bigger version of the iPhone. But there's no phone calls. I can bet you the iPad will make phone calls sometime in the future. That's just the way it's going to be. So you see what I mean? As soon as you get the latest version, it's outdated. The newest thing becomes the latest old thing. And so we get tricked into this idea in our life that, well, if we just get that, or if we just achieve this thing, then we're going to sort of achieve life's purpose. We particularly do this in the area of relationships. If I get a boyfriend or girlfriend, I'll have made it. You know, that'll be sort of me going forward. But then when maybe eventually you do get that, doesn't work out that well, you go, once I find the perfect person to hook up with, then I'll have really made it. And it goes on, and then it gets really bad for people my age. I've seen this happening a little bit, where people go, you know, sort of get married or hook up in a de facto or something and go, well, we don't have a great relationship, but if we have children, then that'll fix the situation for us. And if that doesn't work, I'll get my kids to act out to fulfill all the things that I failed at. You know how some parents do that? You know, dad was rubbish at footy, so he forces his son to like footy, even though he preferred to play computer. So this sort of thing happens, and we get tricked into thinking, well, the next thing. We keep looking for purpose. Jesus just says quite simply, I'm the way. I'm the way to get purpose. I'm the way to get meaning in life. But this has to work in a real world, doesn't it? It can't just work in sort of fanciful Christian land. And the real world is not a particularly wonderful place. There's all sorts of problems with it. I think we need to be really honest about that. Look, my first housemate that I had, she was a police officer. And at the end of the day, we both get home, we go, oh, how's your day? And we'd sort of tell each other. But we stopped asking that question after a while because she was investigating some pretty nasty stuff. And so you don't really want to get home at the end of your day. So how's your day? Oh, well, I was investigating a rape, or I was investigating someone who got beaten to death with a plank, or I was investigating, you know, that's actually a true story, so not funny. You know, those sort of things. So, you know, once we realize that, we're like, oh, well, maybe we're not going to ask that question every day. Nasty things happen all the time. What does Christianity have to say about that? If Christianity doesn't have a response to that, it's not worth following. Well, again, the Bible takes a very realistic attitude to this. It doesn't pretend that the world hasn't got any problems. It actually owns up to it straight from the start. And basically what the Bible says is, well, here's what's true about all these problems. Everyone is a contributor to the mess. Every single person. Yes, some people contribute more than others, but we are all overall responsible. We all act selfishly. We all screw up from time to time. We all hurt people, hurt other people at times, and hurt ourselves. And the Bible says, well, everyone needs to be forgiven by God for those things that they've done wrong, because God hates it when we do that. God is good. He hates it when we do bad. And He can't just ignore the way we treat each other all the time. He wants to forgive us, but something has to be done. There needs to be a response. And so into the world that is full of selfishness, violence, terrorism, abuse, corruption, and just generally mean people, steps Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus brings with Him good news. And He says, you know what? Despite all the bad things you human beings have done, God continues to love you. He continues to love all of us. And He shows how much He loves us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, it's great to know the love of a person, you know, perhaps a family member or a close friend. But knowing the love of God is a whole lot greater. We're not talking about mushy sort of romantic sort of, you know, love here. We're talking about a much deeper committed love. A bit like Troy and Abed from Community, if you've seen that show. They've just got an amazing friendship. There's nothing romantic about it, but their commitment to each other is amazing, times that by 1,000. That's the love God has for us. And one of the best things about the Alpha course is that we get to look at that love in detail and look at how it all works. Jesus also doesn't just offer love, He actually calls people to follow Him. So that's an important part. It's not just like, oh, God loves me, sweet, I don't have to do anything. He actually says, no, let's get part of the deal. Let's become a follower of me. That's where the term Christian comes from, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Christian. And that's also something we look at in the Alpha course. I hope what I've done for you tonight is to show you that being a Christian isn't easy. You know, if you sign up to become a Christian, it's not like life's going to become simple, not like life's going to be free from challenge. That's not the case. But I also hope to show you that Christianity isn't boring, that it isn't irrelevant, and that it's actually true. And I want to finish with this question to leave you with for you to take home, and that is to ask you, are your views about Christianity based on solid, trustworthy information? Have you just listened to some what some random person said, or have you done some investigating? If you come to Alpha, we'll help you to do that investigating. We'll present the information honestly and openly. We're not into brainwashing. We're not into getting your money. We just charge a little bit just to cover our costs. That's it. And each week, we'll look into it in more depth and help you to do that investigating. And I'd really invite you to come along.